Hello and welcome to the I Can Do podcast with Benjamin Lee. We're here to talk about tips and strategies to have an I Can Do mindset. Life is what you put into it. Get the most you can. Here's your host, Benjamin Lee.
When you look at what Solomon has to say here, the preacher, we may be able to describe these words as some of the most challenging words for us to consider when it comes to life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." There is an appointed time for everything. Let that sink in for just a moment. I think those are some challenging words. In life, there is a time for everything. There will be highs and there will be lows. Calm seas and stormy seas. Dark days and bright days. Days that never seem to end, full of joy. And days that we wish would end immediately. What makes these verses so challenging? These verses force us to consider life, don't they? It's what the preacher is doing. One of the more challenging thoughts here is a time to give birth and a time to die. Death may be one of the more challenging thoughts in these verses here. That's because with respect to death, it typically does not happen on our own time schedule or the way that we may want it to happen. If you think about what's happening here at this congregation, we've experienced a lot of death lately. We had a tragic accident right next door, not accident, but something that tragically happened next door with a young man losing his life just a few weeks ago. We lost our brother Lloyd not too long ago, and now the tragic loss of our brother Thomas. And there are lots and lots of hearts that are hurting. Death in these passages is something hard for us sometimes to grasp. But it's not just death. There are many here who are going through a lot at this very moment. Parents who are sick, members who may be lonely or depressed, many challenging issues that all of us, to some degree or another, may be experiencing, and if not now, then at some point in our lives. Think about what he says. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Some may be weeping because of the status of their marriage, because their husband is not acting the way that he should, because their wives are not acting the way that she should. There are many reasons why our hearts can be hurting and why life can be challenges. Think about what he says in verse number 8. There's a time for war and a time for peace. The war in Ukraine and Russia continues, and now with Israel and Hamas. Multiple wars that are taking place. We need to be in fervent prayer. These passages are also difficult because they force us to consider life and to understand that there are going to be good days and challenging days that all of us are going to have to face. If we're honest, at least I guess maybe I can speak for myself, but I think all of us would say this to some degree. There are days that are just easier to handle, wouldn't you agree? When things seem to be going the way that we may want them to go, or things are running kind of smoothly, the children are listening, the job is working out pretty well, our bodies are acting the way that they should. Well, those are pretty easy days to navigate. But what about when days get hard? When the children are not listening, or when our bodies begin to shut down, or when our family is struggling? How do we navigate difficult days? There are thoughts and truths from God's Word that we all need to remember, in the good days and even in the challenging days as well. Solomon puts life into perspective. And as we think about navigating challenging days, no matter what they may be or when they may come, because the reality is we don't know when they're going to come. That's part of life, isn't it? When you wake up, you have no idea what's going to happen from the time you wake up to the time that you go to bed. And yet there are things for us to remember to help us to navigate these difficult days. I want to share three thoughts with you. Number one, all of us need to consider this, that as we think about navigating difficult days, that we have to face reality. And I'm not trying to be mean when I say this, but this is something that is very important, because Solomon is making it clear that we have to understand there is a time for everything. And while that is hard for us to consider, we cannot be naive about life. There are tragic things sometimes that will happen, not sometimes, that will happen in life. I can think back when Tanya called me over a decade ago about the passing of our dad, or other family members with phone calls. Have you gotten a phone call like that? Or a text message? Or even just reading an email that is sent out by the congregation about a brother or sister in Christ? Those are difficult things to read and to hear. And yet Solomon reminds us about the certainty of challenging things that will happen in our lives. But he also reminds us about another reality, something that we all need to remember, because sometimes, yes, there are things that are not always fair that are going to happen in our lives or with people that we love. At the end of Ecclesiastes, he wraps it up in chapter 12. Will you turn over there? In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember how he summarizes life under the sun. There is something, and young people, you need to think about this as well, that all of us need to be prepared for. He says in verse 13 of chapter 12, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Our God is just, and everything will be made right. And we also need to know that we're going to stand before God one day, which means that we need to make sure that we are prepared for judgment day as well. When I talk about this idea of facing reality, there are examples in the New Testament. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember Paul, as he is pleading to God, pleading to the Lord three times, a specific prayer of removing the thorn in his flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, he had his request. He went to God in prayer. He went to the Lord. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 7, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. Have you prayed like that? Praying multiple times about a particular issue? Maybe it's with yourself or with a family member. Three times he's going to get to the Lord. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. The Lord answered his prayer. He responded. And what did Paul have to do? He had to face what the Lord said. Paul, your thorn will remain. Now, Paul could have ignored this, could have denied this, could have been upset and given up on the Lord, but he didn't do that, and this is application for us. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. By no means am I saying that we don't acknowledge the sorrow or the pain or the difficulties that we all will face at some point in time in our life. Yeah, Paul is a great example for how we respond to those moments. That Paul still had to understand, well, no, this is my new reality, but I'm going to continue to walk forward and move forward by the grace of God through his strength. He's not the only one. Remember the Apostle Peter, and I think it's interesting, in 2 Peter chapter 1, remember how Peter begins his letter to the saints in 2 Peter chapter 1? He's writing to Christians who were suffering, and Peter wants them to remember a couple of things. He knows something about his life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 12, he said, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. Let's continue to stir up one another and stir up yourself as well by going back to the Word of God. Notice what he says in verse 14. Knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. He knows that he is near death. My earthly dwelling, the laying aside of it, is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. All of us are going to have a departure like that, where one day we will die as well. There's a time to be born and a time to die. There are challenges that we're going to face in this world, but yet we have to face them, but we do it with God's strength. I'm turning to Revelation chapter 2. Remember the first couple of chapters of Revelation. Jesus, through John, is writing to these churches or speaking to these churches in Asia Minor. When you look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 8, he speaks to the church in Smyrna. And remember what he has to say to them in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 8. To the angel of the church in Smyrna, right? The first and the last who was dead and has come to life says this, I know your tribulation. What a blessing that is. That even in while we have to face reality in difficult days, the Lord knows. He sees what you're going through. He knows what I'm going through. That should give us great comfort. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich in the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear. Well, that's a statement that's mentioned hundreds of times throughout the Word of God. For good reason, right? Do not fear. Fear can ruin us if not careful. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. So he's telling them, this is coming to you. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. What's my point? My point is this. That as we think about navigating difficult days, we must face reality. We have to understand this is happening. We have to understand the Lord is going to give us the strength that we need, but we cannot ignore what happens in our lives. The question for all of us is, though, are we going to listen? There's a time for everything. That doesn't always make it easy to handle. The reality is there are better days than some, and some are just really, really challenging. What if every day could be a good day? I'm not saying that we wouldn't experience sorrow or heartbreak or hardships, but understanding that even during those painful moments, there's something that we still can have. Joy. Confidence. Peace through Jesus Christ. Is that actually possible? I'm not talking about ignoring what happens in our lives, but even in the midst of the storms, knowing who is with us. That is something that is absolutely vital if we're going to navigate these days the right way. All of us are going to go through difficult days. The decision we have to make is, how are we going to go through those difficult days? We can do it the right way, we can do it the wrong way. If we're going to do it the right way, then we have to face them. But we don't do it by ourselves. We have the Lord with us. We have His mercy and we have His grace. We need to remember who is with us. This is where it gets challenging, because sometimes in life, it's foggy. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen next. In fact, we have no idea what's going to happen this afternoon. We think we do. I'm going to go out to eat. Maybe get some Mod Pizza or Mode Pizza, however you pronounce it, right? After services. We're going to come back here at 5 o'clock and worship God. So many things can happen between now and then. We know this to be true, right? We need to remember who is with us. I'm reminded of Job. Remember in Job, turn over to Job chapter 38. Job has been suffering a great deal. Job has questions that his friends cannot answer. There are things he does not know. Even at the end of the book, he doesn't know the full story to some degree. But one of the things that he has been looking for has been God. Where are you, God? Are you still with me? The Lord, in chapter 38, showed up. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? I'll gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me." Now, Job's going to get a big wake-up call, because Job had it on his mind and his ways of what or how things needed to essentially happen. Going back to chapter 23, he replied, "Even today my complaint is rebellion. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with my arguments." That's what Job was thinking and trying to figure out along the way. Where are you, God? God had been with him the entire time. But that's the challenge with difficult days. The feelings get in the way. And the facts sometimes get suppressed. That God has been with us and will continue to be with us. Gideon's another example. If you turn over to Judges chapter 6, remember in the book of Judges, the people of Israel are committing great sins, and they are making their lives harder than they need to be. And by the way, we do that as well, don't we? We go against what God wants us to do, and we go through this cycle of rebellion and punishment, and then we cry out to God as well. But Gideon has some questions, some serious questions. And the Lord showed up to him. The angel of the Lord came to him in verse number 12. He appeared to him. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" Have you ever asked that question? If God is truly with us, then why do these bad things happen to me? Why do these bad things happen to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us." You ever feel that way? The Lord has abandoned you? Or maybe your family member who's in the hospital? Or maybe if your dad wasn't there when you were growing up, like mine wasn't? Maybe it's your mom. Whatever the case may be, why have you abandoned us, God? The angel is going to help Gideon to understand some things. Verse number 14. The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" Verse 16. But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you." Gideon, I'm going to be with you in this journey at this time. We need to remember that as we navigate difficult days. We're not alone. Job was not alone. Gideon was not alone. We talked about this in our Bible class in Acts chapter 18. Remember what we talked about if you're in the auditorium? Even Paul had challenging moments, difficult days of being persecuted and beaten and on the run and chased by people. And yet in Acts chapter 18, he needed to hear from the Lord. In Acts 18 and verse number 9, the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you. for I have many people in this city. Now, the Lord is not going to speak to us in the way that he spoke to Paul. He's not going to speak to us through an angel in the way that he spoke to Gideon. But make no mistake about it, the Lord is with you. He's with us. Do we believe that to be true? To navigate these difficult days, we have to understand that and believe that, that the Lord is with us. You know, one of the things we need to remember as well as we think about these feelings that we often go through of abandonment and questioning God about why certain things are happening is the fact that Jesus came to earth. He came to earth and dwelt in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus saw His creation broken and lost without a shepherd, and He came to deliver mankind. That's exactly what He did. What a blessing and great comfort that should help us with. How do we navigate difficult days? Number two, remember who is with you. You're not alone. Our Lord is with us. We need to remember the reality of the resurrection and what that means for us. There's hope, no matter what we face in this life. 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us of this reality, that the Lord has risen and one day we too will rise from the dead. There will be moments where we may actually be alone to some degree, and yet we still remember who is ultimately with us. We turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul, as he is near death, Paul reminds Timothy of events that had happened to him. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 16, as he warned him about Alexander the coppersmith, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16, he said, "At my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Now that's what we need to remember. The Lord is with us. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. There were times where Paul was alone, and yet he was truly not alone because the Lord was with him. So my question for all of you this morning is, what have you been navigating in your life? Maybe this past week or the last couple of months, maybe for an entire year. Have you been trying to do it all by yourself? All alone? I'm not necessarily just talking about other people, but not relying upon the strength of God. Are we filling our minds with His promises, brothers and sisters? And are we revisiting the cross and the tomb to remember His great power and who we actually have with us? That's how we navigate difficult days. Face reality as hard as it may be, but we don't face it by ourselves. We face it with the Lord, and we know that He is with us. And as we face reality and understand these great promises that the Lord has given us, my third and last point is stay in the ship. I'm talking about what Paul went through in Acts chapter 27. I know none of us are in a literal ship, but ultimately staying with the Lord. Remember when Paul is, I believe, leaving Caesarea and going to Rome or making his way to Rome in Acts chapter 27? It's one of the most fascinating chapters. So many lessons when it comes to faith. When you start in verse number 9, and you look at verse number 9 through 11, when considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them. They're traveling through difficult weather, and said to them, "Men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and in the ship, but also of our lives." He's warning them, don't do this. If we keep on going down this path, it's going to get really dangerous. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul. Paul knew some things about traveling, didn't he? You know what's interesting? Do we ever find ourselves being persuaded by other people instead of listening to the apostles as we should in their words and what they tell us with direction with how we need to go in our lives? We start doing that, we're going to head down a very dangerous path. You drop down to verse number 18. Eventually, there was danger. The next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. So look at Paul. He's going to speak up again another time in verse number 21. When they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, "Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss." You should have listened to me. That's what Paul's saying. You should have listened to me. We need to listen to what Paul has to say in the Holy Scriptures. We need to listen to what he has to say about life. He's warning these people on the ship, "All right, I'm going to help you out again. Let me tell you what's going to happen here." In verse 22, he says, "Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you.'" In other words, all of you are going to survive. "Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told." There's a great example of faith. When God says something, we need to believe it exactly as he has said it. That's how we navigate through these difficult storms and days and times in our lives. Now, Paul said this. It didn't mean that the storms just automatically stopped. The storms continued. And there were more challenges even after these words. In verse number 27, "The 14th night came, and they're still in these storms." In verse 28, they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And a little farther on, they took another sounding and found it to be 15 fathoms, fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks. They cast four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. Look at the fear. But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and had let down the ship's boat into the sea on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul had told them exactly what was going to happen, but because of fear and because of their circumstances, they're saying, "We're going to do our own thing." But verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, he's speaking again a third time, "Unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. Stay in the ship." And that's what they did. They listened to what Paul had to say. And he encouraged them. And at the end of the chapter, in verse 44, "The rest should follow. Some were on planks and others on various things from the ship. And so it happened that they all were brought safely to land." It happened exactly as the Lord said it would happen. There are great lessons for us to consider here. As we navigate difficult days, stay in the ship. And I'm talking about Jesus. Salvation was found in the ship. Listen to what I'm saying. And as we think about navigating difficult days, our salvation is ultimately found in Jesus. We know this to be true, but moments of suffering can cause us to act in ways that are contrary to what God has to say, that are contrary to what Paul has said in his words. We have seen Christians who have left the faith due to suffering. And maybe some of us have even questioned God. And maybe some of us are just now beginning to kind of drift away to some degree. How could this happen to me? There's a time for everything. The question, though, is, are we drifting? It is possible to drift. It is possible to slowly go farther and farther away from our Savior, where salvation is found. In fact, there's a whole book, Hebrews, where the Hebrew writer is encouraging the Christians in Hebrews chapter 2, take heed and pay special attention to what you've listened to. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. In the middle of suffering, as you navigate difficult days, we better be filling our minds with the Word of God and paying very close attention to what He has to say. Why? So that we do not drift away from it. Drifting can happen in all of our lives. Stay in the ship. Stay with Jesus. Jesus is where we have peace. And now we have peace with our God in heaven. In Romans 5 and verse number 1, Paul said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have everything in Jesus Christ. That's why we need to remain with Him. When I say everything, I mean everything, even to the point that we can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Remember Philippians chapter 4? What does Paul say while he sits in a prison cell? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, if we want to have goals to go after in our lives, why don't we go after that? Do we have peace even in the middle of storms? Not just when things are the way that we want them or design them. If we were in prison, would we have this kind of peace or contentment, as Paul said in verse 11? Have we learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am? There is a time for everything. And there are going to be a lot of different circumstances we're going to face. Even Paul had to live that. But a peace that can surpass all understanding, that's what I want. It will guard my heart, that's what I want. It's possible. It's only found in Jesus. That's why we have to remain with Him. A peace that can surpass all understanding, even after death or loss and sorrow. You won't find it in alcohol. You won't find it in drugs. You won't find it in sex. You won't find it making more money or working overtime or traveling to escape your problems. It is only found in Jesus. That's reality. There is a quiet confidence that every Christian needs to have and can have. But it's only through Jesus. It's not by my own strength. I'm weak and so are you. But His grace is sufficient. You know what I can't help but think about? I was talking to Hugh about this on Wednesday night. Mark chapter 4. We're going to wrap it up here. Look over in Mark chapter 4. This is what I want. I want you to think about our Savior, Mark chapter 4. Do you see yourself in this passage here? Mark chapter 4. Jesus has been speaking in parables. And at the end of the chapter, as He spoke in parables, He told His disciples something. Verse 35, on that day when evening came, He said to them, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took Him along with them in the boat, just as He was. And other boats were with Him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. But Jesus Himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Stop right there. Don't you just love that? In the middle of the storm, He's taking a nap. You know, storms have a way in life to cause us to not be able to sleep at all, to cause us to stay awake all night and fear and our minds constantly working. I got to find the solution. How am I going to fix this? Jesus, even in the middle of a storm, is taking a nap. I'll tell you right now, that's what I want. In the middle of a storm, I want peace. He sleep on a cushion. But they wake him up. The apostles wake him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Now, what had he already told them? We're going to the other side. This is where we're headed. But their minds immediately go to, I guess he doesn't care. Maybe he doesn't love us after all. And he got up. Thankfully, Jesus isn't like us when we get up from a nap, grouchy. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now, we can't talk away what he just says there. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That's what I want. Is that what you want? That even in the middle of a storm in life, knowing that everything essentially is still going to be okay. I'm not saying that we're not going to suffer, have problems, or have death, but we have Jesus with us. And we have these great promises with us. And we have hope of eternal life with us. And we have redemption of sins through his blood. Such peace and confidence that in the middle of the storm, we can still go to sleep. Don't tell me we can't do that. I'm not saying we're not going to have sorrows and weeping. That's what the preacher said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. What I am saying is we can have peace that surpasses all understanding. Our sorrow, we don't sorrow like others in the world who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I like what Doy Moyer, a preacher, and he's back at Florida College now teaching. I like what he said about Mark chapter 4. He's talking about parables, and Jesus would always say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Isn't it interesting how the winds and the waves, they heard Jesus and they obeyed? And yet many times we who have ears to hear don't listen or obey him. The winds and the waves, they do. The question is, will we listen to what Jesus has to say? When we do, that is how we will be able to navigate difficult days. Many are going through challenging times. That's part of life. We have a Savior who's been through everything and rose from the grave on the first day of the week. That is reality. Let us therefore trust in Him, no matter what we face in this difficult world and life that we sometimes have to live and experience. If you're in need of prayer, last week Nikki came up and asked for prayer. Thank you so much for praying for her and her mom. Maybe there's someone else who's in need of prayer. You may be thinking, you know, everybody already knows what I'm going through. Why do I need to do that? Well, it's another opportunity for your brethren to encourage you. It's another opportunity maybe for you to encourage someone else who may be afraid to do something like that. We all need prayer. We all need encouragement. And maybe if there's someone here who's not saved, you're not in the ship, you're not in Jesus where salvation is found, you're going to have some difficult days. You need him. But more importantly, you're going to stand before him. You need to be ready for judgment day. It is coming. You need to be ready for eternity. We think this is all there is. No, this isn't all there is. And death is not the end. We're going to rise from the dead. All the tombs are going to be emptied. And if we truly believe that, that will also change how we navigate through these difficult days. We're preparing for eternity. Heaven is our ultimate destination. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's a promise from God. He who does not believe shall be condemned. That's a promise from God. Now we get to decide how we're going to respond. Let's stand, let's sing, let's give thanks to God.
Once again, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. If you are in the need or are looking for more motivation in your life, feel free to check out my website, benjaminlee.blog, where you can find hundreds of encouraging, motivational blog posts on a variety of subjects. You can find all of my books, which can also be found on amazon.com, and other podcast interviews with a variety of people. I hope this helps. Please leave me a rating and a review. I can do, and so can you. Take care, and God bless.